Well, it's been a while since we were able to actually have musicians in the building, but it's so great to see some of those faces and hear some of that musicianship. And we've got our friend Brett in the building today who's on the sound desk, so big welcome to him. We found out this week we could swap a person in. So there's still just five of us, but Brett, my name's Justin, good to meet you, mate. Brett's on sound for those who are wondering, and it was great to have our own team members there, and thanks to the crew at Church on the City, Church of the City in Nashville, and Pastor Matt Smallbone, great mate of mine from back in the day, Christian music in Australia. He was a bass player in a band called Alabaster Box, for those who remember back in the day, and then of course went on to play with Michael W. Smith and other people that were cool. But anyway, thanks, Matt. Love you, mate, and love your church. Love what Church on the City, Church of the City, is doing in Nashville. Go and check out their YouTubes. Have you had an encouraging week? Are you feeling like you're living in encouragement and increase? You know, maybe you don't. But we're in Acts chapter 9, and I just want to jump to the middle of the chapter and give you. The outcome, all right? I'm not going to start with the struggle. I'm going to start with the victory. This is what it says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. It says, so the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. So the church throughout all Judea, all the known areas had peace and were strengthened, living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. So I want to talk to you today about living in encouragement and increase. Now, a lot of us have increased in ways that we really didn't want to increase in over this last little season. Some of us have increased in pant size. I'm just feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. How about you? Some of us have increased in stress and anxiety. Some of us have increased in awareness, if not participation in conspiracy theory conversations. Some of us have increased in ways we simply didn't want to increase in. Maybe we've lost patience, we've increased in doubt, we've increased in confusion, we've increased in all of these ways that actually bring our days into a little bit of a darker place. And so our prayer today is that as we gather online, that you are actually encouraged to live in peace with the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit so that your faith may increase. The only thing Jesus ever told us should increase exponentially is our faith. He actually didn't talk to us much about our bank accounts increasing or our influencing or our coolness factor or our likes on social media how hip and cool we are. Jesus didn't come to be hip and cool. He came to teach us what we needed to know. And that's what is happening for Saul at this point. Saul is the guy who last week you heard Pastor Stan teach us was a reformed terrorist. He was a terrorist. He was terrorizing the church. This chapter actually starts with these words. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And we've just jumped forward to verse 31. They lived in peace and were strengthened. How does that happen? How does that actually happen? We all have tough weeks and sometimes it's hard to understand the process. And this week has been a particularly difficult one for me to bring this message together, because as the word speaks, lots and lots of ideas come, but also there's lots and lots of distractions. So I thought I'd maybe normalize my week with your week by perhaps showing you a little bit about how this message came together. So here we go. Check this out. Okay, so it is hard to prepare sermons during the week because of the people in my house. But look, see, this is where I'm preparing a sermon. I've got Logos open on the other side of the phone, and I'm writing the sermon. It's coming together. It'll come together. It'll be fine. Don't worry. Definitely in Acts chapter 9, but the trials and tribulations that are happening. I think I've got one child crying and one child in the shower who's very disappointed in me that he has to be in the shower right now. But don't worry, the sermon's going to come together. Okay, I'm now in the car and I've brought the kids to a park, and I might get some time, possibly 5 to 7 minutes before somebody cries.
or somebody needs some help, or a toilet stop, or just randomly decides they don't want to be here. Anyway, this sermon's going to be great. Come on.
Okay, so I've got a journal. I've got a Bible. It's been raining, so I just snuck out the front. Don't know where the family is, but don't tell anyone. I'm figuring this disguise might help. Don't worry, sermon's going to be great. And do you like jumping on my head when I'm trying to read the Bible?
Yeah.
But do you think that helps the sermon?
No.
Oh, it might. Are you going to watch Kids Church as well?
Yes.
And watch Genny and Alex?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for your help with the sermon.
Bye.
Everyone's asleep, but I have a street light to work by. And I figure Paul wrote a lot of his letters whilst under house arrest by candlelight. So maybe this message could be written under a street light, because that's the only place I can go without some kids on skateboards just roll past. All right, back to the dungeon. All right, I think everybody's asleep, and we're talking about transformation. Transformation through living with encouragement and being transformed by the Spirit. Living in encouragement and increase, which the first church did, the early church did, because they lived in this understanding of grace that no matter the circumstance, they could still get the comfort of the Holy Spirit and live in the grace of Jesus Christ. And so they lived in encouragement and comfort of the Holy Spirit. What a challenge. So I've decided this message is all about living in increase and encouragement, because even in this weird season, we can still do this. Told ya, it's going to be a great message. Let's go.
How's your week been? A little bit interrupted, a little bit stressful, a little bit abnormal, a little bit like you got to get your work done despite all the circumstances around you, a little bit like you have to lean in to your faith and actually trust God in the process? Well, I hope that's where you've landed. I hope that through studying the Word and through understanding the faith that is working its way out of you, inside out, that something is changing on the inside. I actually, every now and again, I'm really honest with myself in that journal that you saw in the video. And this is what I wrote at 11:50 p.m. one night whilst trying to pull this thing together. I wrote this: I don't know what to preach. I don't know what you need to hear. I don't know if teaching you the text of Acts 9 will change anything that happens in your head, heart, or home today. I just don't know. I do know that this text, this history, this beginning of a movement continues millennia later to glue people's lives to hope, to anchor hearts in hope, to lift people's eyes to hope, to break free of foolish pursuits, to let go of addictive undertows, to run into their Savior's arms, and to stop trying to hold it all together, because today I cannot hold it all together. I choose not to try because, and I kid you not, this is what it said. I've got this journal. It has a little scripture quote at the bottom of this page. This was just a brain dump. And at the end of this page, it said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Quoted from Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. How many people know the Holy Spirit will talk to you however he can? There's a lot of immediately's that happen in this particular passage. And one of the immediately's happens immediately at the top of verse 19 and 20. And I'll share that with you in a second. But I just want to tell you that before immediately comes immaturity. Now, we all feel like we're mature at whatever age we're at whatever stage we're at, until we're presented with wisdom that points out otherwise. So immaturity is not something to be ashamed of. It's something that you just live with. You are immature in some area or another until wisdom is presented and it changes you. Saul is a very, very smart guy. He is a man who has lived with great understanding, in-depth study, all of those sorts of things. And yet, his spiritual life was immature. And when he's presented with Jesus, when Jesus says to him, "It's me who you're persecuting," and he understands and he hears the Lord's voice, and scales come over his eyes, and Ananias lays his hand on Saul's head, and there's that brotherly arm extended to him. Can you imagine being Ananias, having this guy who had been breathing murderous threats against you come into your house and ask for your help? Can you imagine the trust that Ananias must have had in his God to actually trust that really reaching the brotherly hand, or, you know, extending his hand towards this guy in love, as Jesus did in Luke chapter 4, where he reached out and touched people and laid his hands on them. Imagine the faith that he would have had to do that. So Saul's had that hand extended to him. He's received healing. His eyes have been opened, and he has started to understand, because when wisdom confronts immaturity, immaturity has to do something with it. You can ignore it. You can accept it. Wisdom is that thing that has always been there but feels new to you when you understand it. That's what wisdom is. And so immaturity, coupled with an immediately and cushioned by Emmanuel, is what changes us and what carries us through. Jesus' message cannot be held back. You or I, the government cannot stop the gospel moving forward. And we're going to understand that through this text. You cannot stop the gospel of Jesus Christ moving forward. You can be immature, that's okay. But when you're met with an immediately and cushioned by Emmanuel, you gain understanding and your life changes. Your personality does not change. Your skill set does not change. But your understanding of grace does. And grace is what allows us to live in peace with the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So again, today we're praying that you learn how to live in peace with the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and your increase happens in faith, that your faith is increased. So let's jump into the passage. Acts chapter 9 and verse 19. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. It says, immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. Immediately he started doing that. What happens before immediately? Remember, immaturity meets wisdom. Verse 20, all who heard him were astounded. All who heard him were, what happens before astounded? Well, comparison of what was predictable. Before you were astounded, you have a predictable thing that you compare everything to. Wasn't this the guy who just recently was breathing out murderous threats? When I compare him to how predictable he's been, this is astounding. Something has changed. When the gospel changes people's lives, it's astounding, because compared to where they were, it just messes with people. It's astounding. Verse 21, verse 22, Saul grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews, proving that Jesus was the Messiah. What happens before stronger? Well, that one's easier. What happens before stronger? Admission of weakness. In my weakness, he is strong. Guess who wrote that? Yes, that guy. This guy that we're reading about wrote that. Verse 23, after many days had passed, the Jews conspired to kill him. What happens before conspiring? Well, a new idea gains momentum. A new idea of God's grace is gaining momentum, and people are threatened by that, and they begin conspiring to kill him. Now remember, he came preaching grace and truth. Grace and truth starts to stir people up, because it's moving them away from what their anchor had been, and it's changing how they understand the world around them. Therefore, it's creating a threat to their normal, okay? They've been astounded. They've started to understand. Now they're getting threatened, and they start to conspire. Verse 24, they watched the gates. They actually put guards at the gates to make sure Saul didn't escape. They were so fearful of this message that they wanted to trap the message and shut the message down. Why? Because grace was starting to abound. And when grace abounds, the law of mankind, kind of gets pushed into the background, and no longer can we control people with law. We have to live with grace. This is a little bit confronting to people that have controlled the whole narrative with laws that they've added to and added to and added to, right? So grace is about to escape. They watch the gates. Verse 25, his disciples took him by night and lowered him in a large basket through an opening in the wall. Just note, his disciples. Now he's got disciples, but he's not even a disciple yet. He hasn't been discipled, but there's something about the change that is so astounding, so confronting, so amazing, so life-changing, that people have now started to follow Saul. And it says that his disciples went and helped him escape out of the city. What happens when grace gets out of the walls that try to hold it? It breaks out and it changes the world around you. It's an incredible thing. This message that you have, that you carry, this hope that you carry, this peace that you carry, it has to get out. It has to change people. It has to be allowed to be heard. And Saul couldn't shut it up because it says immediately he started teaching. And he went back to the synagogues. He went to the places where people spoke the same language as him. They knew who he was. They knew how wise and how learned he was. He went to people that understood his language. We're about to hear that when he started to go to a new set of people that hadn't any context for who he was, well, that was a little different. That was received a little differently. Let's hear the word. Karen's going to read it for us.
Today's reading comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 31. When he arrived in Jerusalem, he, Saul, tried to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, since they did not believe he was a disciple. Barnabas, however, took him and brought him to the apostles and explained how Saul had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Saul was coming and going with them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He conversed and debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they attempted to kill him. When the brothers found out, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace, being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and it increased in numbers.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are you growing in faith? Are you living in peace and comforted by the Holy Spirit? I sometimes read those passages and I actually get why the others were afraid and maybe doubted and maybe stood back a little when Saul showed up and started preaching to them and saying, I want to hang out with you guys. You can imagine the doubt. Because he was a disciple that he hadn't been discipled. The contrast is, we're about to read about Peter. Peter had walked with Jesus. Peter had failed with Jesus and Jesus had raised him up again. He had been discipled through his failures. Saul had simply met wisdom and wisdom had changed him immediately. And yes, Emmanuel was with him, but now that work starts to happen from the inside out. And the context of who he is has to change. It's that whole thing of when change happens in you, others have to catch up with your narrative. You might feel like a change has happened, but you need to live that out, not just in word, but in deed, so that people can see the work of God that has taken place in your life and see it over time, witness it over time, and understand that you have, in fact, changed. You can understand why the disciples in Damascus were just like, yeah, and Barnabas steps in at this point. This is where we meet Barnabas's role in Saul's life, and that will develop as we go through these chapters. Tim Keller, who's that? Is he a football player? Doesn't matter. Tim Keller is a teacher, and he says that, he notes that Paul lived by five perspectives that helped him live. Wait for it. You ready for this? 1, life is a struggle. 2, death is an adventure. 3, history is a masterpiece. 4, the gospel can't be stopped. And 5, in the end, you only need one thing. Life is a struggle. Death is an adventure. History is a masterpiece. The gospel can't be stopped. And in the end, you only need one thing. Life is a struggle. Have you struggled recently? Does life feel like a struggle even though you have faith? The struggle is actually the thing that builds the strength. That's what struggle does. If you weren't to struggle, you would simply slide backwards. Imagine sort of climbing a mountain. That's what life is. There's your analogy. You're climbing a mountain. If you stop, you go nowhere. And more than likely, you think, oh, I might just go back down. The struggle actually has the reward. The struggle is where strength comes. The struggle is where muscle is built and patience and strength and all of those internal things are built. Your faith is actually developed through the struggle. So struggle, you just need to give it a context, that it's good and that it's growing you. Death is an adventure. What an amazing thought. No, it wasn't Peter Pan, or was it Mary that said it? I can't remember. Death would be a great adventure. I think Peter Pan said it. But what Paul's talking about is at the end of his life, he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. I've run the race. I've fought the good fight. He lives for a purpose. He lives for a purpose with a purpose. So death is not a threat to him. History is a masterpiece. When you look back through history and you see the tapestry of history woven together with God's hand, it's an incredible comfort to us to realize that we're not that unique and we don't need to fear our now, because he's in charge of our now, our past, and our future. And in the end, you only need one thing: the comfort of the Holy Spirit and Emmanuel, God with us. I've heard a lot of conversation about some of the laws that are being passed at the moment, and some of the conversations about what's being legislated that feels very anti-faith, perhaps anti-Christian. There's a lot of conversation going on around that, and I just want to give you the comfort that when Saul was around, every law was that. Right? His whole life was under threat because of his faith. That's not our situation. And here's the comfort I want to bring to us. Your faith can't be legislated. We don't need governments to legislate our faith. We need to live our faith. We need to live our faith in reality, in front of people. Live it out in word and in deed, and let people witness it and let people see that it has changed us. It has changed us. So, we need to take control of what we allow to increase in our lives. And so, I want to help you increase in encouragement today. All right, so here's how we're going to do that. I want to give you something really, really practical to do. Think of something encouraging to say and say it to someone. Let the word of God change you from the inside out. Why don't you take time to jump into the comments section even now? Maybe there's a scripture that you've read this week that has really, really encouraged you, that has really blessed you, that has really just lifted you up. Maybe it's the words in red from the scripture, Jesus' words, that have really lifted you up. Why don't you share it? Put your favorite scripture in the comment section right now. Why not? Why not send an encouragement to another brother or sister in Christ? Just encourage one another in the Lord, because that's what these guys were doing. And that's how they proved to one another that they were living in the comfort of the Holy Spirit and encouragement each and every day. This is a book called The Reappearing Church. It's written by a pastor in Melbourne called Mark Sayers. And it talks about this idea that we need a balance between the formation of who we are, the traditions of our Christian faith, and the fire. The thing that proves to us that God is working, the outworking, the miraculous, the supernatural. And some of us put those two things at extremes, the form and the fire. Here's what he writes. Many Christian traditions are strong on forms. Others are all about chasing fire. In the face of the secularist challenge, a whole new generation of young Christians is seeking a breakthrough in God's presence and power through passionate worship, prayer, and mission. Others, aware of the corrosive influence of our contemporary individualism, are integrating and pursuing the patterns that have shaped and sustained the church for millennia. In other words, they're going back to the old school ideas to give it form again. However, those pursuing fire without form in a culture obsessed with the spectacular feelings and the instantaneous can find themselves being carried away with sheer human enthusiasm or disillusioned when God's timetable doesn't align with theirs. Those committed to formational patterns over time may find such forms beneficial for individual shaping, yet impotent for kingdom breakthrough. The patterns can become emptied of their meaning, forms without fire, giving into a theology and faith of drudgery and defeat. I was really challenged when I read that, because I love the fire. I love talking about the fire, but I know that you need the formation. You need the discipleship. Saul wasn't yet a disciple, yet he'd had a miraculous intervention and his life had changed in an undeniable way. He couldn't walk away from his own testimony. That was the encouraging thing. And yet, he goes to the disciples in Damascus, and they're like, we haven't seen you formed yet. And so you walk humbly before Christ, and you walk slowly, and you let him form you. But don't forget about the fire. Don't forget about the fire. We trust Jesus because by his words he is known, By his deeds, he is trusted. And by his stripes, we are healed. We follow Jesus because of these things. By his word, he is known. By his deeds, he is trusted. And by his stripes, we are healed. He lived it out. He walked it out. And it continued on through his disciples and through everybody that has come thereafter. It took time for Saul's testimony, for Saul's actions to become Paul's testimony. It took time. It took time for Paul's deeds to be trusted. It took time for Jesus to be seen in Paul. But in the end, he carried the scars of a journey that proves to us that God can change anyone, a reformed terrorist. Immaturity coupled with immediately cushioned by Emmanuel. Jesus' message cannot, will not ever be held back. I want to encourage you today that as you look forward in that, there's actually one more immediately. There's one more immediately that I just want to get to that I don't think I put up there for you. But verse 32, we jump to Peter's story, and Stan's going to explain this a little more next week. As Peter was traveling from place to place, he also came down to the saints who lived in Lydda. And there he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and been bedridden for 8 years. Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. And wait for it. Immediately, he got up. Peter is a guy who has failed in front of Jesus, failed in front of his friends, denied Christ, done all sorts of things. But through his immaturity, meeting wisdom over and over again, he's been matured. He's been formed. And yet he carries that fire. There's this beautiful challenge to all of us to keep allowing the gospel to confront our immaturity, to keep allowing the gospel to confront our lack of understanding so that we may mature and be formed in the things of God. So even the extremes like Saul, and that's an amazing story, it really is, but it's not our story. I haven't ever breathed threats of death against someone. But I have had my sin confronted over and over and over and over and over again. I have had my immaturity confronted over and over and over again. And I am being formed. I believe I'm being formed through the community of faith, through the washing of the word, through prayer, through worship, through all of the spiritual disciplines that we have. But I want to see God moving in my life, and I want to see God moving in your life. And I absolutely believe that's possible. And I want to pray for you today that you can live in encouragement and your faith can be increased as you live with the peace and comfort of the Holy Spirit, even in this strange season. Father God, I just pray for all of the crew participating in this gathering today. And I pray that you would help us to bring our lack of understanding and our lack of peace and our anxieties and lay them all at your feet again. Lord, I pray for comfort, I pray for peace, and I pray for our faith to increase. In Jesus' name, amen.